going to discuss today something about a three-day seminar on core concepts of devotional service. Actually, I have one more seminar on Bhagavad Gita, science in Bhagavad Gita, but maybe I'll do it afterwards. Before starting this seminar, just let me offer offerings to Srila Prabhupada. Om Ajnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Litam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namah. Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Vashadi Gaur Bhaktivrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Before starting this seminar, this is the college which I've opened. Like, it's about to open. Like, we have done the work for this Vedic Revival College and Research Center. So Srila Prabhupada wanted a college in Kurukshetra, and in that regard, I've opened this college in Kurukshetra. It just started, and this college, the aim of this college is to preserve Vedic knowledge. And also the knowledge and the manuscripts of other sampradayas, Madhva, Sri, Vallabh, Nimbarka, Namagaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, and to impart all this knowledge in modern, systematic and scientific manner. Because people don't have access to that knowledge. It's in Sanskrit. And the beauty of this college is you need to learn Sanskrit, you need 12 years, Prabhupada said. But we'll be having a course for Sanskrit, and we'll teach in 1 month.
One month.
because we have, I mean to say, you don't become a scholar, you don't learn sutras, but at least you can get entrance into the language, and you can understand the language, the semantics and syntax. So and also the education is free in this college. People can come down, devotees, they can get training. We'll be teaching music and arts and Vedic physics, Vedic maths, Vedic chemistry, and then architecture, politics, all from Shastras, management, everything. So, well, I need all your blessings so that we can do that. And also this college will provide a foundation for Varnashram system, because we need devotees in Varnashram system, and they need to get trained. And we need a forum where all scholars and all trained people can access to these people. So we have contacts with all scholars and trained people all over India, and people can come, get trained and go back. So that's the name of this college. Today I'm talking about core concepts of devotional service. And this is me. I was a physician by profession previously. And why I'm telling you this is because I also did some research in genetics, and I do and primarily I've come to America to preach to scientists. That's what Guru Maharaj asked me to come here and have a look. Because this is the land where science is there. Because in India I preach to scientists, and the most funny part is first you have to tell them what is science. And then give them anti arguments. So that's why I just came here. Well, anyway, two devotees. Okay, so we have eight core concepts. Why eight? It can be nine. Why nine? It should be infinite. But the point is, what I have studied in Prabhupada books and other acharyas, I could just jot down eight, and I thought eight is a good number because eight gopis, eight Upanishads. So I got this. And why I call it core concepts? Because of this statement of Srila Prabhupada. Nectar of Instruction, preface. Srila Prabhupada has this beautiful statement. Advancement in Krishna consciousness depends on the attitude of the follower. And this statement, Prabhupada says, a follower of Krishna consciousness movement should become a perfect Goswami. This Nectar of Instruction, in Nectar of Devotion also, Srila Prabhupada writes, attitude is a key. So what do we... Prabhupada knows what he's talking. He's genius. Prabhupada doesn't write, advancement in Krishna consciousness depends on chanting of holy name only. Prabhupada doesn't write advancement in Krishna consciousness means depends on preaching only. Prabhupada writes advancement in Krishna consciousness depends on attitude. He doesn't write advancement in Krishna consciousness depends on temples or prasadam. That's required. But Prabhupada writes with the attitude you chant, attitude you approach prasadam, attitude you approach deities or whatever, advancement depends on the attitude. And that is why this seminar is important, because we have to develop that attitude while we are doing. We can chant, we can keep on chanting, but yet make no advancement. That's also possible. And so we have to fine-tune our attitude. That's the idea. So there's something called external sadhana and internal sadhana. That's what Vishwanchakri Thakur writes. So external sadhana is, okay, fine, activities and other things. Internal sadhana means you're developing your attitude, you're purifying your heart. That's what we have to remember. Because we all know ISKCON life is hustle-bustle life, and generally we lose the focus within. So how to develop this attitude? We have this 8 concepts. Some of them you might have heard, some of them not heard. But all these concepts are from Prabhupada books, Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Bhaktisiddhanta. If you read those books, if you read their books, these themes will recur again and again. These themes are common themes on which their teachings are based upon. For example, this Amito Tomar, Tumito Amar, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, there's a song, Tumito Thakur, Tumara Kukur. Again and again in his songs, this theme is coming, Manasa Deo Geo. Krishna Kam, Krishna Nam, Krishna Tham, this is Bhakti Siddhanta. His entire teachings are summarized into this line. If you go to Mayapur, Gaudiya Math, on the gate, this is written, Krishna Nam, Krishna Tham, Krishna Kam. We're talking about this. Tat Sukha Sukhitvam, this is from Srila Prabhupada book, Narad Bhakti Sutra. And Vishwanchakri Thakur, entire teachings of Vishwanchakri Thakur is based on this one sutra, Tat Sukha Sukhitvam. Vishwanchakri Thakur is our Rasikacharya. He's talking about Ras, but he's unique, because when he's talking about bliss, he is trying to give us insight that in spiritual world, if you give bliss to Krishna, then you get bliss. That's what his whole teachings is. He's trying to enter that pastimes. Trinadapi Sunichena, we all know. Tuchikritam, this is Jiva Goswami is again and again mentioning. Drik Drishya Vichar, we all know. This is Bhakti Sandha Vaibhav. And this is from Rig Ved, Drik Drishya Vichar. And Samanvay, this is by Jiva Goswami in Bhakti Sandarbha. I'll be talking about all these things in details. Okay, let's start first. Amito Tomar, Tumito Amar. Okay. This means I am yours, you're mine. Simple, but yet deep. And that is what is genius. A genius is defined in Panini as Alp Shabdam Analpa Artham. A genius is known by his words. And how are his words? Less words, more meaning. Who is a fool? More meaning, more words, no meaning. That's a fool. And that's what Srila Prabhupada writes in Srimad Bhagavatam. If you want to know a devotee, if you want to check a devotee, Madhvacharya quotes, Prabhupada quotes Madhva. Keshchid unmadvad bhakto. Many people dance, are enthusiastic. Keshchid gambhirastha. Many people are serious. Good. But if you want to know what is the level of that devotee, there are two signs. One is internal, one is external. Internal is dharadyam, his determination to follow the time. But that's subjective. Objective symptom, there's just one. Mukha prasadat. The prasad of his words. By words you can know what is his level. And that is what Bhaktivinoda Thakur says. Amito tumar, tumito amar. Entire surrender process can be summarized into this. But the point is, what these simple lines means. I am yours, you are mine. Let's explore this. Now, Yamunacharya, he explains this. Actually, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in one of his Gaudiya article, he mentions that our entire Gaudiya Vaishnava Siddhanta is based on Sri Vaishnava Siddhanta. He says this. He uses his word Bhitti Swarupa. Foundation of Gaudiya Vaishnavism is Sri Vaishnavism. because Sri Vaishnava is talking about Ananya Bhakti, unalloyed surrender. So Yamunacharya is a person who gives explanation to this statement. I am yours means, Krishna, of course, I am your servant, that's fine. But you know, Krishna is supreme enjoyer. And he likes enjoyment from all respects. Prabhupada says, try to satisfy Krishna in all respects. Krishna is the greatest bhogi. We can't beat him. It's impossible. He wants enjoyment. So we say, Krishna, I am yours. I am your servant. Krishna says, okay, can you embellish it? I like poetry. That is why whole Vedanta and Upanishads is in poetry form. And that's it's technically called Parokshvad. So sometimes people ask, why Upanishads are so complex? They're not complex, they're in poetic form. They're poems. And Krishna likes to hear poems. Gopi sings poems. And Krishna says, can you embellish it? Okay. Can you go deeper? Okay. I am your servant. Krishna, engage me in your service. Can you go deeper? Yes. Krishna, control me. That's the meaning of I am yours. Control me. But then Krishna might tell you, are you sure? Do you want me to control you? And we have to be careful to pray that. We can pray, but then be ready for something surprise. Because when Krishna starts controlling us, it might not be so comfortable. It's because Krishna, when he interferes in somebody's life, we don't want anybody to interfere in our life. That's a problem. That's why we are here. But when Krishna starts interfering in somebody's life, it's got to be, he's demanding. When his pure devotees are so demanding, how much Krishna should be? Srila Prabhupada, he was demanding. Okay, go there, preach this, preach that. Bhakti Siddhanta, he was super demanding. He was traveling in a train. I think it's mentioned in Saraswati Jayashri. I don't know whether Guru Maharaj mentioned or not. It might be mentioned. I forgot. But at least in Saraswati Jayashri, it mentions. Bhakti Siddhanta was going in a train. It was passing Gaya. And he was sitting and there were many sannyasis. And he just told, get out. And the sannyasis told, what we are supposed to do here? He told, okay, go and preach. And they told, we have no money. We have nobody to talk. And he told, okay, nothing to eat. He told, okay, go to Ganges, drink water and preach. And there was one devotee, oh yeah. So Bhakti Siddhanta, I think he went to Darjeeling to preach and he was going in a car and there was a sannyasi with him. I don't know who he was. He stopped the car, he asked the sannyasi, jump down. Jump. From the hill, from the mountain. And he was surrendered. He just got down. And you know, he didn't ask him why. He was quite good. I forgot his exact name. He was an elevated person. And he asked Bhakti Siddhanta, okay, fine. From how much height you want me to jump down? Not why. You can't ask why to spiritual master. You can't ask why to Krishna. That's not their policy. So when Krishna demands, you can't ask why. Krishna demanded Yudhishthira Maharaj to speak a lie. And Yudhishthira Maharaj said, why me? Because Krishna told, because you never spoke a lie. That's why I'm asking you to speak a lie. So Krishna will ask funny things. And Krishna told, because I don't want you to become attached to truth. Of course, Yudhishthira Maharaj is a pure devotee, but Krishna was teaching us. So Krishna exactly knows where to put his finger. He exactly knows how to purify us. It might be something little difficult, but no problem. Krishna, control me. And then Krishna asks, can you go a little further? Can you embellish it more? See, I'm talking about attitude now. This everything is to do with attitude. Statement is, I'm yours. But it depends on the attitude. So many people are floating, surfing. I just meant, so many people are diving. But those who surf, they don't get jewels. Those who dive, they get jewels. You can fly high, you can fly even more high. Higher and higher. But those who fly high, they are higher. That's what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says. Jai bhaje, sai bad. It doesn't depend. Who is greater in devotion? Who has more realizations? Krishna asks, can you embellish it more? So, devotee can say to him, Krishna, exploit me. And that's the highest level of devotion which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has told us. That's what is Chaitanya Shikshashtakam. Ashleshava Padratam Finastumam. That's, in other words, exploit me. Use me and throw me away. I am not really qualified to be with you. I don't feel I am qualified. But at least I can do this service to you. You can use me in your purpose and throw me away, because I'll be simply be a nuisance for you. But if you want to purify me and keep me with you, that's your will. But that's what is my desire. And if we say to Krishna, Krishna, use me, throw me away, Krishna will say, okay, come on, I like this. You are with me. That is the conception which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given. The conception of control is given by Madhvacharya. Dependent and independent, that's what Madhva speaks. The conception of service is given by Ramanuja. And the conception of exploitation is given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That's the highest conception. That's why Mahaprabhu is supremely merciful. He has taught us how to be exploited by Krishna. That's his mercy. People might think it's simply nonsense, but devotees can realize this fact. That's the mercy of Krishna. So that is, I am yours. And you are mine means, Krishna, you are my master. And you are mine means, I offer everything for me unto you. Now, okay, fine. So what do we want to offer to Krishna? Manasa devo geho jo kichu mor. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, our house, our body, our everything, even our thoughts. Sometimes we say, I wasted my time in devotion. I wasted my time, of course. That may be in talking language. But actually, the real attitude of the person is, a devotee is, I wasted Krishna's time. Even our time doesn't belong to us. Even our thoughts do not belong to us. We can't think whatever we want, because it doesn't belong to us. You are mine. It belongs to you. So we have to be careful in that regard. Krishna is watching. And that concept I'll bring it later. But before that, this is one Bhaktivinoda Thakur's song from Sharanagati 4.2. He says, Amar amitonat na rahinuar, ekhona hoinu ami kevala tumar. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has written an article on this. And he says, this is my teaching. This is what I have come to teach. I no longer consider even myself to be mine. This is the pinnacle of surrender. We don't belong, even myness do not belong to mine. My thought, my energy, my soul is also for you. So, what does that mean? I'll just come to that point. Anyway, let's discuss with you 3 days. Okay, so what we mean by surrender? I am not even mine. There are many reasons we surrender to Krishna. But the first reason is to become pure, but that's not a real reason. That's why I put it in grey. We don't come to Krishna to become pure, because to become pure is side effect. We don't come to Krishna to take, but to give him. That's the idea. Because our disease is to take. That's what we have been doing in material world, no? Take money, take things, take enjoyment. And if we do the same thing with Krishna, we take prasad, we take mercy, we take holy name. Krishna has given us everything, but our mood is to give him. We are not interested in just taking. That's something materialistic mentality. Even if we take, we should take and then offer him back. Just like Prabhupada says, we take Ganges water and then offer him back. We take his mercy and offer him back in form of service. We don't keep it with ourselves. Because this is sahijyas who keep mercy with themselves. That's not we are. We take it and offer him back in double. So to become pure, that's one thing. We come to Krishna, but that's not the real reason. Real reason is, first reason Prabhupada says, it's a duty. Jivera sarup hai. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains, it is a duty to serve Krishna. It is a unavoidable duty. So one of the acharya in South India, Alwar, Krishna manifested himself in front of him. And he asks him question, why do you want to serve me? So you know what he answers? He says, I have no option. That's a beautiful answer. So it was Tiruvai Mozhi. He said, I have no option what to do. Even if I want to serve anybody else, I have no option. And Srila Prabhupada says in one of his purport, even if pure devotee wants to leave Krishna, his mind will not allow. That's a pure devotee. One of the Alvars, he says, if Krishna is left, he will leave. If Krishna is kept, he will be with you. So it depends on us. We want to keep Krishna, he'll be there with you. You want to leave Krishna, he will leave away. So it is an unavoidable duty to surrender to Krishna. But the third reason is to increase the happiness of Lord. And Srila Prabhupada writes in one of his purport, Supreme Personality of Godhead is self-sufficient, but to enjoy his bliss, he requires the cooperation of his devotees. And we have also to protect Krishna. See, all these things cannot be understood by jnanis. We have to protect Krishna. That's funny. But Srila Prabhupada says that is devotion. Devotion will make the concepts upside down. That's devotion. It cannot be understood by logic, simply by logic. It has to be understood by mercy. Okay, this actually, the last point, to relieve Krishna from unhappiness. This is the point which Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions in Jaiva Dharma. And Prabhupada mentions Chaitanya Charitamrita Antya Leela. We think devotion is to give happiness to Lord. Yes. But there is another side to it. Devotion is also not to give him unhappiness, not to hurt him. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes, anybody who realizes this fact, he will never, never ever do anything which will injure his hope to attain Krishna. He will be careful. We do something, we don't do something. We do something to give him happiness, we don't do something so that Krishna becomes unhappy, he becomes hurt. Our hope is to attain, it's a hope against hope, we want to attain Krishna. That's what Raghunatha Das Goswami says. We are not sure we will attain Krishna, but it's hope against hope. That's the hope which is we are living on. That's the mood of Gaudiya Vaishnavas. So we should not injure our hope that Krishna will be dissatisfied and we lose the opportunity to attain him, to meet him face to face. You know this word Krishna consciousness? This word is from Rupa Goswami's book, Padyavali, Krishna Bhavna Amrit Sangh. And I think there's a commentary by Valdevita Bhushan, I forgot. But in that commentary he writes, this word means three things. Now we think Krishna conscious means to be conscious of Krishna. That's the idea. But there's one more meaning to it. Can anybody just tell me? I just wanted to.
Krishna will be conscious of us.
Oh yeah, perfect. Yeah, this is 50%. We are conscious of Krishna. But when we get trained in this, Krishna becomes conscious of us. That's our goal. But there's one more meaning to add. Another higher level. Anything else? Can we go a little deeper? One more level is there. So Prabhupada says in his purports. Prabhupada says in one of his conversations, when we can think what Krishna thinks, that is the perfection of life. Prabhupada says in his lecture. So, we are conscious of Krishna, first level. Second level, Krishna is conscious of us. Third level is, we are conscious how Krishna is conscious about us. That's the highest level. That is love. That is what Vallabhacharya says. That when a devotee can feel he is remembered by God, then he is perfect. Then he is perfect. Same thing Prabhupada says here. So that's what we are aspiring for. That we can think what Krishna thinks. So I'll talk about this in afterwards in some core concepts. But this is what Krishna consciousness. Okay, this is from Bhagavad Gita. I just quoted it for Amito Tumar, Tumito Amar. This is what is the evidence from Bhagavad Gita. For one who sees me everywhere, sees everything in me, I am never lost, nor is ever lost to me. Now Krishna says, Yomam Pashyati Sarvatra. For one who sees me everywhere, that means for one who sees everything belongs to me. For one who sees everything in me, it doesn't only belong to me, but it belongs to my service. I am never lost to him. He is conscious of me. And he is never lost to me. I am conscious of him. So that's the evidence I was giving for the explanation of Krishna consciousness. It's right there here in this verse. And okay, fine. I just missed this. It's the same thing. Service unto is a friend to me, and I'm also a friend to him. It's not speculation. There's evidence for that. And Prabhupada says, okay, now the question is, fine, this is the attitude of a devotee. I am yours, you are mine. I've talked about various levels. But the question is, if you have a girlfriend, and if you love her, and you say, my dear girlfriend, I love you, but you go and see movie yourself, and I'll go back to my home. That's stupidity. So attitude should be coupled with action. And that's why Srila Prabhupada told, do something for Krishna. So how do we express that attitude? That's the idea. And we can do it by these three things, Bhaktisiddhanta said. Bhaktisiddhanta over and over repeated this. Krishnakam, Krishnam, Krishnadham. Actually, Bhaktisiddhanta used to, when he was in Vrindavan, he used to say this. When he was in Mayapur, he used to say, Gaur Kam, Gaur Nam, Gaur Dham. He used to switch over Gaura. Both are correct anyway. So what do we mean by this? Okay, Krishnakam. Prabhupada said many things at many places, we all know. And sometimes it might seem contradictory, but it's not. Sometimes somebody might focus on something, somebody focus on something. And Prabhupada said so many times, just like when Prabhupada, somebody asked Prabhupada, what's the most important thing in Krishna consciousness? Prabhupada said book distribution. At other time, Prabhupada said prasadam govinda. At other time, Prabhupada said reading Bhagavad Gita. And then Prabhupada was giving a lecture, and Prabhupada asked, what's the most important thing? And that devotee, he was there once, he said, Prabhupada, reading Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada said, no. He was thinking, you said, Prabhupada said, no, to become pure devotee of Krishna. What? To become pure devotee of Krishna. So he said so many things. What is right? What is wrong? Everything is right. But at different levels, that's the idea. So Prabhupada is talking at different levels from different perspectives. Prabhupada says, Krishna consciousness means activity. Krishna kam means action. But action, we have to keep in mind, it is on the level of body, mind, intelligence and soul. Generally in ISKCON, we focus on actions on body. Generally it happens, you know, do this, do that, do this, do that. That's good. But what about action of mind, intelligence and soul? That will cultivate our attitude. We have to do all of them. So at the level of body, Krishna consciousness means activity, Prabhupada says. At the level of mind, Krishna consciousness means purifying the desire. At the level of purifying the desire means, at the level of mind, we are to think of pastimes of Krishna. Some people belong to the camp of philosophy. Some people belong to other camp, only pastimes. But we don't belong to either camp. We have to get both philosophy and pastimes. Because philosophy is there to analyze pastimes. That's what philosophy is for. It helps us to enter pastimes. You have to do. It's Prabhupada's instructions. Every devotee should read Krishna book daily. It's standing instructions of Prabhupada. And we should read. Prabhupada was genius. Prabhupada knew what he's talking about. Because if we don't read Krishna conscious, Krishna book, we don't read pastimes. Pastimes are there for enjoyment. Enjoyment means not really enjoyment. Pastimes give bliss to Krishna, to devotees. But Krishna is nice. Krishna has a policy of helping us learn in fun. It's not just fun. Krishna is giving teachings with that fun. That's his style, you know. We like to learn in fun. That's how kids are trained. We are kids. So Krishna does pastimes. They're nice. But every action of Krishna has a reason. And that's what Vedanta Sutra says. Na prayojanatvat. And there's a big commentary by Madhava, big commentary by Ramanuja. This sutra, if there's one sutra in Vedanta Sutra, this is a sutra. The first sutra is there, Atato Brahma Jigyasa. There's big commentaries. Second sutra is there, Janmadyasyata. Even bigger commentaries. Third sutra is there, Na Prayojanatvat. Big commentaries. And Valdeva Vidyabhushan writes big commentary. And the point is, Na Prayojanatvat. The idea is, Na means not. Prayojan means goal. Krishna doesn't do anything without a goal, without logic, without a plan. Even if he blinks, there's a reason to that. That is what is pastimes. Philosophy helps us to analyze those pastimes. And that's, if we analyze those pastimes by philosophy, and that is what is nectar of devotion. Rupa Goswami has given a system to analyze those pastimes. That is nectar of devotion. No acharya did that. Because people thought it's not possible. And pastimes means love. How do you analyze it? That is magnanimity of Lord Chaitanya. He has given a framework to analyze those pastimes. And if we analyze those pastimes in mind, it helps to purify our desires. That's why Prabhupada says Krishna consciousness means purifying the desire. The practical side of it is at the level of mind, we have to club philosophy and pastimes. And then Krishna consciousness means self-abnegation. This is from Purport of Prabhupada. Self-abnegation, we all understand. The power to, the will to say no to this material world. So action at level of intelligence, Prabhupada said in preface of Nectar of Devotion. Oh, sorry, preface, introduction. Prabhupada says in introduction of Nectar of Devotion, we should plan. Planning is required in Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada says in Nectar of Instruction, the synonym of devotion is enthusiasm. And the basis of enthusiasm is intelligence. And is intelligence. And the action at the level of intelligence is planning. So Prabhupada says in Nectar of Devotion, every devotee should plan what he is about to do. After a year, his whole life, tomorrow, now, everything should be planned. And then by that planning, our intelligence gets purified. Because the work of intelligence is sankalp and vikalp, planning, it keeps on planning. And at the level of soul, action is to understand the truth of Krishna, truth of devotional service. Bhakti tatva, ras tatva, bhav tatva are, Krishna's Guru Goswami says, this is a translation of that verse. You have to understand all tatvas, try to realize it. This is what is Krishna kam in its entirety. So we should not take just one aspect of it. Okay, next is Krishna nam. Now this is nice because we all know Krishna nam means chanting holy names. But I have quoted these evidences for you. And you know, beauty of Prabhupada is that sometimes he speaks something and then in entire book is all purports. These things, he doesn't repeat that. Many things he repeats, many things he doesn't repeat. And we have to be wise to understand what Prabhupada is speaking there. Just like, for example, this second point, I got this line of Prabhupada. Prabhupada is not talking about this anywhere. Only this purport Prabhupada is talking. Prabhupada is saying, this is very nice, Bhagavatam 1.6.33. Prabhupada is teaching us how to chant. It is natural psychology in every individual case that a person likes to hear and enjoy his personal glories enumerated by others. That is natural instinct. And the Lord being also an individual personality like others is not an exception to this psychology. It's so nice. So Prabhupada says in Science of Self-Realization, chanting is the best prayer and best glorification. So I was thinking, why it is best glorification? Like, prayer we understand. What's glorification? And then Prabhupada said this, when we chant Krishna, Krishna becomes happy. That's the idea. Because he likes to hear his name. So if I chant anybody's name here, you'll be very happy. No, it's natural. Isn't it? You started laughing now even. It's natural to Krishna. So that's the idea. It gives, Krishna wants to hear his name. So the point is, the attitude while chanting is, Prabhupada says, chant and hear. But here Prabhupada is going a little deeper. Don't just chant and hear. You have to hear and also make Krishna hear his holy name. That's the idea while chanting. Krishna wants to hear. In deity's form, it is very natural to understand. We are making Krishna hear his holy name. But when chanting, we forget because it's not clear. We are not now realized Krishna's holy name is Krishna. But you have to remember, when we chant Hare Krishna is going in our ears, and then it's going in our heart, and in our heart there is Krishna, and he's also hearing. That's why I quoted this. We are secondary hearer, Krishna is a primary hearer. Let's hear and make Krishna hear his holy name. This is the attitude which we should chant. First point, you all know, holy name of Krishna is non-different from Krishna. And the third point is, I got this quotation from Prabhupada, Adi Leela. Do not try to be the master of holy name, but be a servant. So what that means? Prabhupada said, Lord Chaitanya never tried to be master of holy name. He taught to be servants of holy name. As far as I read, I didn't find this line anywhere except this purport. To be the servant of holy name. I think somewhere in conversation Prabhupada text, but it doesn't repeat again and again this thing. Now what this means? To be servant of holy name. This might mean, okay, preach holy name. But while chanting, this means we take it for granted. Okay, my beat bag, Hare Krishna, I started and I finished. No, we're not supposed to think like that. We can't start and finish Krishna. We can't do that. It's not in our hands. When we chant holy name, we have to remember, this opportunity is given to me by Krishna. Who knows? Maybe after 5 minutes, we'll not be able to chant his holy name. Who knows? We can't take things for granted. We take things for granted. The greatest disease of man is assumption. Prabhupada writes in his purports. Prabhupada translates Maya as illusion, as darkness. But if you read his books, he translates, on practical side, he translates Maya as misconception. Prabhupada says so many times, path of perfection, he says. And misconception comes from assumption. We assume that we know. We assume that we understand, but many times we don't. So we assume that when we start chanting holy name, next time we'll be able to start it. But no. When we finish chanting holy name, I can finish, you can't finish. You can't finish that. So when we leave chanting, we have to pray, we have to thank Krishna. Krishna, thank you for accepting my chanting. So I'll talk about this in little detail when I talk about Kritarth, being obliged to Krishna. That mood is there. So while chanting, we should have these three. If you understand these 3 points, we can chant nicely. And then we can go deeper in holy name. And that's what Prabhupada said. Prabhupada said, we have so big temples. The first business of temples is to discuss Harikatha and chant the holy names. Prabhupada said that. And that's what we are here for. But the point is, you have to go deeper by the proper attitude. Okay, this Krishna. Okay, fine. So what do we mean by Krishna Dham? Dham means holy place, we understand. But, well, Dham means association of devotees. And this is what is Prabhupada gives to GVC one letter, 1976. It's a peak of ISKCON. And Prabhupada is there. Prabhupada writes, problem is not that all devotees are carefully studying the books. There is result being a fall down or at least unsteadiness. Prabhupada identified the problem of ISKCON. Devotees are not carefully studying the books. And that legacy still continues. Even today, people are not reading books of Prabhupada. People are reading, but they don't contemplate. Reading means contemplation. You know, we have a disease in modern age. The greatest curse for this age is laptops. It's a blessing, but it's a curse also. Because we think if we have downloaded matter in a laptop, we have downloaded in our mind. It's not like that. Just like Prabhu was there, and when I also joined, we didn't have laptops. I even didn't know what's keyboard. And it helps us. We were reading by books, and we remembered. But now we have laptops, we have folios, you search, and you don't remember anything. And that's a bad thing. Then if you don't remember, you don't contemplate. If you don't contemplate, you don't realize it. If you don't realize, you don't become confident. If you're not confident, you attain Krishna. You don't attain Krishna. So, if you want to learn something, leave your laptops first. Just leave that. If you have for service, that's good. But keep books. Keep books and try to think. Try to memorize that. In fact, our Vedic tradition demands memorizing. That's how Vedic tradition was. In Gurukul, children's were memorized. Children used to memorize. Children were not allowed to understand. If you go to traditional Gurukul, they are learning Rig Vedas, they are learning Yajur Vedas. And I went to Sri Vaishnav Gurukul. I asked those children, do you understand? No. They're just memorizing. But that's okay. Because when you memorize, then you can start churning it, chewing it. That's very important. So reading means contemplation. Prabhupada saw that. Devotees are not reading. Even if they're reading, they're not contemplating. And contemplation means harmonization. Contemplation, I told you, Prabhupada said so many things. Contemplation means you have to harmonize contradictory teachings, seemingly contradictory teachings. So Prabhupada said, this is important, this is important, this is important. No. And Prabhupada says in one of the purport of Chaitanya Charitamrita, Prabhupada said, and that purport also Prabhupada doesn't repeat. Prabhupada says in that, when you advance in Krishna consciousness, you will face contradictions. I exactly don't remember that purport, but it's there. You will face contradictions. Why? Because when you're advancing, you're going near Krishna. Krishna is contradictions. That's what Krishna is. Tad dijjati, tad nayijjati. He walks, he doesn't walk. He talks, he doesn't talk. He is humble. At the same time, he is proud. He is very soft. Same time, he is very hard. And the greatest quality of Krishna, what differentiates us from Krishna, is one quality. Except his eternality and all those things. We are also eternal. One quality, he is having one quality of virudh dharma ashray. This is said by Vallabhacharya. He is reservoir of all contradictory qualities. It cannot be with us. We are living entity. That's what differentiates him and us. We are eternal. He is eternal. That's okay. He has qualities. We have qualities. Of course, less. But one thing he has, we can't have. We can't have contradictions. He has. And that's the quality. And because of that quality, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu named our philosophy as Achinte Bhedave Tattva. He uses this word Achinte. Achinte doesn't mean inconceivable. And the word inconceivable do not mean inconceivable. Because inconceivable according to literal translation means you can't conceive. You can conceive Krishna. You can think about him. But you can't understand him because he is contradictory. That is why you can't conceive him. You can't understand contradictory nature of Krishna. Mahaprabhu uses Achinte word. So we should read. And Prabhupada says here in Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Leela, he said, all devotees connected with Krishna conscious movement must read all the books that have been translated. It's Prabhupada's order. And if we don't fulfill that order, it's Guru Avagya. That's offense against holy name. Prabhupada said we should. Otherwise, you'll simply eat, sleep, fall down. Anybody who's been ISKCON steadily, they're reading books. That's important. And how to read? Prabhupada says, each and every shloka should be very, very scrutinizingly understood. Every verse. That is the first business of temples, Prabhupada says. So this is the first business, lectures. And discussions. Bhakti Santa, when he used to give lecture, he used to talk 8 hours, stat, 6 hours. He was like super enthusiastic. And people used to go sleep, come back, take bath, and he's speaking. And his disciples, some of his disciples, Sundaramidyanoda, whatever, they used to come behind, they used to say, Prabhupada, watch. And then he used to say, this illusion, he's trying to stop Harikatha. And then people he understood this. And at the end of his pastimes, he told in one of his lecture that I have established so many Gaudiya Mats, and I'm seeing my disciples are attached to bricks. I will break down all these Gaudiya Mats. And that will help me because people will go all around and they'll start preaching, they'll discuss about Krishna. So that is the enthusiasm we should have to understand the scriptures. When we read Bhagavad Gita, it's not a book for us. Oh, by the way, what's the address?
Yes, we have to end by 8:30.
It's
5 minutes left.
Okay, fine. So when we read Bhagavad Gita, it's not a book. It is Krishna. That's the attitude. When we read the chapters of Bhagavad Gita, they're not chapters. They are the progressive stages of realizations. Some people are on first chapter still. Some people on second. Some people on third. 12 chapter, 18 chapter, I don't think so, when we'll reach there. And when we reach verses of Bhagavad Gita, they're not verses. They are the mind of Krishna. We are approaching, we are entering the mind of Krishna. That is how the attitude should be when we approach these verses. We try to understand it. That is what is association. But the point I'm going to tell you is that we have to balance all these three. That's the idea. And that is what is difficult to do in an institution. And we generally forget. Some people are only chanting. Some people are only doing something for Krishna. Some people are not doing both, only associating. No, we should balance. one day should be packed and balanced, and a soul should be nourished by all these three regularly. We have to nourish our soul. We have to, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, that realizations we get, they're like a child. Realizations are gift of Krishna, just like child is gift of Krishna. But then we have to protect it and nourish it properly by giving dal, chawal, everything you have to give, you know, to body. It should be nutritious. This is nutrition. Kam, naam and dham. We have to balance that. And then we can advance in Krishna consciousness very nicely. So, I think that's... This is Bhagavad Gita. Oh, I'll just finish here. So, while you might say, how did Bhakti Santa get this concept? Krishna naam, Krishna naam, Krishna dham. Is he speculating? Of course, we believe him because he's an acharya. But some scholar can answer, you know, it's a speculation. From where did he get? He to provide evidence. This is evidence from Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says, acts of sacrifice, charity, penance are not to be given up. So, sacrifice, for us, sacrifice means Krishna kam. For us, charity is Krishna dham, association of devotees, that is knowledge. Giving knowledge is charity. And for us, penance is Krishna nam, austerity. So, we have all three here. Krishna says, Krishna naam, Krishna kaam, Krishna kaam. It purifies the greatest of people. Acharyas understand what they are saying. And it's all backed up by scriptures. And we have to show people how Prabhupada and Bhaktisiddhanta or all acharyas are genius. We have to show them by our presentation, by showing how it is. Everything is based on scriptures. And this is about Krishna kaam, Krishna naam, Krishna dham. And thank you very much. This third point I'll discuss later. Hare Krishna. Thank you. Any comments, any suggestions, any questions? I'll just finish. Oh. Okay. Thank you for tolerating me. Hare Krishna.